Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is a duplicate tape of Mr. Benson Fong's interview from an original 90-minute tape to a 60-minute tape.
This is an interview with Benson Fong taking place at his restaurant, Ah Fong's, on 424 North Beverly Drive on August 13th, 1979. Okay, Mr. Fong, would you start out first by telling me whether there were many Chinese working in your field, in the restaurant field?
Are you talking about restaurant or acting field now?
Let's talk about the restaurant right now.
Wow, now you're asking me a question that everybody should know. That's 65% of the American people eat Chinese food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so there's a lot of people in the restaurant business.
Mm-hmm. In what areas do you think you differ from some of the Chinese people who do operate Chinese restaurants? Is yours any different from?
Well, I really don't know what you mean by being different. You're talking about differences in operation or location or style of preparing food or selling food or what?
Differences in operation.
Well, we are not the ordinary chop suey houses. We are Cantonese restaurants, and we are the American type of Cantonese restaurant. And we more or less cater to the Jewish clientele more than the ordinary Gentile or Chinese clientele that you would find down in Chinatown. Our locations are mostly spread out where we find a big Jewish neighborhood. And I believe that we are different in this respect. We take the oil out of our food to please the Jewish people. We cut our vegetable in larger pieces because they like the vegetables in big pieces, as well as the meat. We cut the meat rather than the fine shredded cut that most Chinese dishes would prepare, we cut our meat in larger chunks. And outside of that, I can also add that we try to run a homespun type of an operation whereby our waiters, including our maitre d's, our managers, all very much key to the acquaintance of our patrons.
Okay. How about as far as just being a businessman in general, how do you see yourself as very different from most Chinese businessmen?
No, I don't think so, because I have a lot of Chinese friends who are very successful in their field, all except that, in fact, I don't consider myself successful in terms of classifying myself with the other successful Chinese in the community. Mine is a very small success, but I'm happy where I am at. I don't spend a lot of time down in Chinatown like most of the other Chinese Americans do. My work ties me here in Beverly Hills, in Hollywood, San Fernando Valley, and I make my money through the whites. Yeah.
Okay. Now, your acting was during what years?
My acting, I started acting in 1941 with Paramount in a film called China. And then came the heart of the war, right in the middle of the war. I stayed here. I came down from San Francisco and Sacramento in 1941, and I was just going to do the one film and then go home. But it was such fun that I decided to try one or two more. And then I liked it so much that I stayed.
When did you give up acting as a full-time?
I have never given it up. I'm still acting. Although I don't do as many parts as I used to because I haven't got the time. And plus the check that I receive, I don't keep too much of the money.
Are there many Chinese men involved in the acting career, acting field?
Well, I believe there are at least around 100 or more. I don't know exactly how many Orientals are with the Screen Actors Guild, but there are quite a few of them, but not enough parts for all of them. In another word, I must say that in the 30-some-odd years that I've been in the business, there's just not enough work to support them.
Back in around 1940s or so, about how many professional Chinese actors and actresses would you say there were?
Well, when you say professional, it's a very strong word. It's a very hard word to define with the Oriental actors because they like to become professional, but they couldn't make their living by just acting, so they were all doing something else on the side. And I guess you mean the ones who are who devoted more time to acting than the others. I would say no more than 10.
Okay. What caused you to enter the acting field?
No, it was simply that they were looking for some young Chinese boys to work in a film called China, and they picked me up in San Francisco from a Chinese restaurant, brought me down and gave me a screen test, and tied me to a contract, and that's how I got in.
And how did your family feel about it?
I have no family. I lost my father when I was 10, I lost my mother when I was 17.
So you didn't have, you completely on your own then. Okay, what caused you to enter the restaurant business?
Well, see, the restaurant business was a necessity. Being an actor, you sit home every day and waited for the phone to ring. And sometimes you have to wait for weeks. So it was just a matter of either I starve or find a place to hang my hat. And restaurant is the only business that I could think of at the time that I worked at night and leave my days free to do my film work.
Okay. Mr. Fong, do you feel that you were ever treated differently because you were Chinese? Treated either better or worse in matters of promotion and whatever, in any kinds of...
Well, Gene, needless to say, for the last three generation, we all were more or less treated as a little bit different because we're Chinese, but you have to admit that this generation, things are beginning to change, and I think that people are learning to accept people for what they are as an individual rather than a race. And it would take a little more time, but I think right now, this generation especially is having it pretty good. When we were young, we mixed a lot with the Caucasian people. They seem to have accepted us at the time, but when it comes to deep relationship, you always feel that you're not quite in the circle. You have one foot in and one foot out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you feel now that you are completely accepted in the non-Chinese circles?
Well, see, now, even as a white to a white, it's very hard to be completely accepted. No more than an Irishman can be completely accepted to an Englishman, nor can a Chinese accept a Japanese, or vice versa completely. I think it all depends on the individual. However, I must say that I tried to get myself as well as the Chinese people recognized in certain Caucasian groups. I was one of the very first, or one of the first, to join the turf club of the racetrack in Southern California. And I must say that I'm one of the very first two who joined a white country club. And there are many other charitable organization like the Thalian Shares and all those groups. I always try to pitch in and help and do my share. And when you're in these groups, they never stop to think whether you're Chinese or you're white.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think primarily you yourself must open up your heart and let them in.
Mm-hmm.
If you want them to open up their heart.
Mm-hmm.
To let you in.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Fong, what would you consider to be one of the measures of your success, or keys to your success?
Well, there again, I don't know that I'm quite that successful.
Well, with five restaurants all over Southern California.
Well, see, I believe the restaurant part, it's just a good run of luck because people accept what I have to sell. And all we sell is food and service. And of course, you have to be lucky enough to have good employee and good personnel to execute your policies, and I think this is the most important thing to be successful. But I think I know what you're trying to get at. I think in order to be successful in America for any ethnics, I think first of all, you have to fill the needs of the whites. And then also to fill the needs of yourself. You cannot use the Chinese ways of life and the Chinese ways of eating food, for example, or the Chinese way of serving food, or the Chinese way of greeting people, and expect your patron, who are mostly Caucasian people, to accept what you have to offer. You have to find out what they want and try to fill their needs. And I think this is the one thing that a lot of aliens or immigrants that first came over, who failed in business because they never stopped to find out what the certain society that they live in demand.
Okay, to continue in the same vein, do you feel more Chinese or more American or half-half?
Well, of course, I do believe that every Chinese feel more Chinese because the white people won't let you forget that, and you won't let yourself forget that, and above all, the Chinese people will never let you forget that. But I can safely say this. I myself feel more Chinese, but I live more like an American, mainly because I feel that the American ways of living is a happier life. It's not as as restricted as the Chinese way. And I try to think like the Chinese, because the Chinese way of thinking is full of wisdom and full of virtues. It's a much better way of life when it comes to a conscious being. But when it comes to physical happiness, I don't think you can beat the ways of the Western world. So I can say that I'm really 8 ounce Chinese and half pound American.
So as far as restrictions in the Chinese way of living, you mean as far as physical kind of restrictions?
Yes. Well, when I was a very young boy, I learned that you should never, you can play in the mountain, but never in the water. For this reason, many Chinese never learn how to swim.
Right. Okay. So since you live more like an American, did you find that you had to make any special efforts to keep ties with other Chinese?
Oh, yes, yes, of course, because if you're fortunate enough to find some Chinese friends who are closer in spirit, who would like to do the thing that you like to do, then you won't have a harder time to keep in touch with your own people. But if you happen to live in Chinatown or its surroundings, and you're tied to only the Chinese people who were taught to be a good boy and stay home and just study your books, or a good boy is someone who is not too active, a good boy is a person who doesn't talk very much, all these things would more or less confine the people in that area to do certain things and to think a certain way. Now, I always believe that life is a series of little green islands in a sea of tears. If you want to see more green islands, you have to tread the sea of tears. And some people are happy, born and raised on green islands. And some aren't. Some wants to see one after the other, so that they get to live their life in full.
Okay. Back in the 1940s, when you were first here, were most of your associations with Chinese or non-Chinese? Business associations and friends?
Back in the 1940s, when I first came down to Hollywood, I lived in Hollywood. I had a few...
Okay, I had asked you regarding your business associations and friends. Were these people mostly Chinese or non-Chinese back in the 40s?
Well, back in the 40s, they were half and half. The people that I work with are mostly white people, Caucasian people, and the people that I associate with were mostly Chinese. Then in the last 10, 20 years, because the business and my making a living through the Caucasian people somehow changes the style of my life, style of my living, because I have to associate with the Caucasian people because I depend on them for contacts and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Back in the 40s, did you go to Chinatown often or feel any particular ties to Chinatown?
Oh, yes. I always went downtown to eat then because I was living alone. That was before I got married. I live in an apartment in Hollywood, but practically every night I was downtown because I'm used to Chinese food. But not until I got married, then I more or less stopped going down to Chinatown, excepting when I have to do some grocery shopping or to go down for lunch from time to time. Otherwise, there's no reason for me to go downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a drinking man, and I don't like to hang around. And back in those days, for a bachelor to go downtown, you either hang around the bar and drink, or you're going in and out of those gambling joints.
Mm-hmm. And you're not a gambler?
I am a gambler, but I don't gamble in gambling joints.
Uh-huh. Okay. Back in the 40s, did you join any clubs or organizations?
Well, we formed the L.A. Chinese Golf Club in those days with about 12 boys. I was one of the founders of the club, and I've been with the club all these years. And I guess I've held every office in that club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back when it was started, were all Chinese members, 12?
They're still all Chinese.
Still all Chinese. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And that was about the only club that you joined back in the 40s?
Well, there's no other club that asked me to join.
Yeah.
Even the Chinese Chamber of Commerce, all these years, until recently, about a year ago, we were invited to join the Chamber of Commerce.
Uh-huh. And when did you start the restaurant business?
36 years ago.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
No, I beg your pardon, not quite 36. 33 years ago.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did you feel that your work has made you more Western in the sense of, you know, you have to be more aggressive, outspoken, or Western in other ways?
No, I don't think my work has anything to do with my personality. I think you are what you are. But of course, your work may change your approaches, you know, how to approach certain people a certain way. Personality-wise, I believe a man, if you have the drive, you will sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have it, it is not something that you can learn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Fong, can you just briefly tell me a little bit about your family background, where your parents came from, and when
Well, my grandfather came from Canton. My father was born in San Francisco, and I was born in Sacramento. And I guess we've been in California about 90-some-odd years.
Mm-hmm. Your mother was born?
My mother came from Canton, and I have four brothers and three sisters. I was raised in Sacramento, and I went through high school in Sacramento, and I went back to China to Ling Man Yu to go to school. I was back in the mainland for 4.5 years.
When was that?
That was in the 30s. From the mid-30s, around 35, 60, and I came back right before the Second World War.
Uh-huh.
And I have, my wife was born and raised in Detroit from the Chin family. We have four daughters and a son. They're all through school now.
Mm-hmm.
And the four girls are married, and the boy is still single.
Mm-hmm. And what line of work was your father in?
My father was a businessman, quite successful. I think the 1929 Third Depression hit him, but of course he died back in 25-6.
Mm-hmm.
So when the crash came, we lost most of it.
What kind of business?
Hotels, restaurants, real estates, import and export. He was in everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. And when you were young, did you speak Chinese at home with your parents?
Yeah, both, yeah. I spoke Chinese and English, and Toi San and Sam Yap both.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to Chinese school?
I went to Chinese school every night from 6 to 9, and Saturday morning from 9 to noon.
How many years? Roughly.
As far back as I can remember.
Uh-huh. And your years at Lingnan University were?
I was back, first I went to Puijing in Dongshan for a year, and then I transferred over to Lingnan. And I was all told there for 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm. And when were you born, if you don't mind my asking?
I was born in October the 10th, which is Seong Sapji, 1916.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. And you moved down to L.A. in 1941.
1941, yeah.